I've got my mystery box here, and we've got kids. So come on forward. And there is something in this box that has something to do with Easter. Who would like to pull the lid off it? Okay. Say what? Say what? A bunny?
Yeah.
A bunny? Wait a minute, I said there was something in this box that had something to do with Easter, didn't I? Yeah, an Easter bunny. Is Easter more important than a bunny? Yeah. Is Easter more important than saying a bunny runs around laying eggs and hiding them? Yeah. Oh, there's something else in here. Do you want to pull that out? Now, what is that? It's a sheep. It's a lamb, right? And now it's not the bunny. It's the lamb. Easter's all about the lamb. Because when we talk about a lamb at church, we're talking about the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And can you tell me his name? Who is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? Yes, Jesus. He is the Lamb of God, and he took away our sins, and then he rose on the third day, didn't he? And so we celebrate because Jesus is living, right? Now, if you say this with me, you can get everybody here saying something in response. Okay? And what we're going to say, and turn off my mic so they can't hear. Didn't it? Okay, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for being our Lamb and taking away our sin and rising from the dead and promising heaven. And we could pray a whole lot more things, but thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, you can go back and join your families, and we will continue with our next hymn, number 482. Grace to you and peace from God and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is a brief announcement before we actually dive into the sermon. The two sermons of today, the sunrise service and now, are intended as companion sermons. They play off each other. Earlier, the title was Behold the Man Rising. Now this time it's Behold the Man Risen. And just to let you know, if later this afternoon you go onto the church's website, you can get to the other sermon. And I'm saying this because they are companion sermons. So let's dive into the sermon for this service. Again, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you." This is the text. So, Christ is risen. Hallelujah. And there must be witnesses. Because there must be witnesses to the mighty acts of God. This is part of the theme, and there's a twofold theme in this one. As there were witnesses in the Old Testament, remember, perhaps, how God visiting Abraham is accompanied by two angels, witnesses. When Isaiah sees the Lord high and lifted up and his train filled the temple, there were the seraphim calling out and witnessing. There is in the Old Testament the law and prophets, Moses and Elijah. There seems to be a theme of two witnesses going along. There were witnesses at Jesus' crucifixion. One on the right, one on the left, the two thieves, one on each side. And the Bible talks about two angels bearing witness time and time again. There must be witnesses because what God does, the mighty acts of God, are not just mighty acts, not just miracles. They are signs that call us to hear His word and believe His message of salvation. And on the other hand, what does it say in the gospel lesson? Verse 3, but they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Verses 5 and 6, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. Verse 12, Peter went away wondering to himself what had happened. So there's two themes that come together. And the one is actually the past tenseness. Actually, perfect tense. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. See, it is accomplished. It is finished. God has done everything, and we are confronted with an accomplished fact. It is done. He did not wait for us to get ourselves ready and be there. If He had waited for the disciples to go trooping out to the tomb before He rose, how long would that have taken? Instead, it is done before we know anything about it. Oh, and by the way, the disciples didn't even notice when Jesus told them a couple of days earlier when He said, it is finished. The finished, the accomplished fact part of it, they didn't notice when He said, it is finished. And Christianity is unique among world religions in that at the high point of the story of salvation, the disciples step forward one after another to tell us of their foolishness, their lack of faith, their unbelief, that they failed to understand, that they missed the whole point of what Jesus was doing. Even 40 days later, at the time of the ascension of Jesus, their big question was, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom? Right now. They missed it. It's one of the great proofs of Christianity. See, it goes like this. How would the story be written if the disciples had made it up? We can speculate. I've heard somebody do this before. Now it's my turn. It would go something like this. And on the third day, Peter reminded the other disciples that it was the third day and that Jesus had promised to rise on the third day. And the disciples, men who were great in faith and also wise and good-looking, all dutifully trooped out to the tomb to wait for Jesus there. And the women, they were somewhat timid, but it was the faithful men and courageous disciples who persuaded them to come along, and so they went. It's not how it goes, is it? At the founding of a religion, if you are inventing it, and this is ever in the history of the world, no one ever, if they're making up a religion, lines up and tells the whole world that they were foolish, unbelieving, and had no clue as to what was going on. You just don't do that. But what does our Bible say? God was doing the work of salvation. Whether the disciples were ready or not, whether they understood or not, God is going ahead, running ahead, doing the cross and the forgiveness of sins, going ahead with the resurrection. And so we end up with the disciples being surprised. What do you mean he's risen? How can that possibly be? We'll get into a little bit more of this next week as the disciples on the road to Emmaus. It's a great story. Walking along and Jesus comes up and goes with them and they don't recognize him. And then they stand there telling Jesus, who's right there, how they are so disappointed in him because they hoped he was the Savior, but he's dead, he's dead, he's dead as dead can be. And they're so sad. And the women surprise them with a foolish story. And he listens to them. He's got to have a sense of humor, yes. He listens to them as they go along and lets them get it all out. And then he starts explaining to them, not showing themselves, hey, look, my hands, my feet, my side. He explains to them from the scripture and then reveals himself to them. It's a pattern. Every single one of them voiced their doubt and their disbelief. And many of them, time and time and time again. Just this morning, I heard a guy trying to summarize Easter, and it sort of miscarried. He said there were some people who didn't believe, and then after a while, they believed. There were some people, disciples, that's how we describe them, and they did not believe and would not believe and were stubborn in not believing until they were confronted with the risen Lord Jesus there with his risen glorified body standing in front of them, inviting them to look at the nail marks and touch him and see. And the Gospel of Luke continues on, and they still won't believe. And he says, do you have anything here to eat? A ghost does not eat, and eats a piece of fish in front of them. So that's the one part. He's running ahead and doing this. But then there's the other theme that comes in, that other theme. They didn't find the body of Jesus. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Peter went away wondering to himself what had happened. The other theme is the elusiveness of Jesus. The what? Elusiveness. In the entire text for Easter morning, Jesus does not appear. Did you notice that? It's a pattern. And there's a purpose to it. The pattern is, nowhere in the Gospels do any of the disciples get to see Jesus before they had first been told about his resurrection. The reason why is because there is the Word of God there to explain to us the why he had to suffer and die and rise. And that is where God wants to draw us to that point. So the purpose. First comes the Word. First comes the Word always. They needed to know the why of the dying, why of the rising, so that when they saw Jesus, they would be able to get how it was the plan of salvation. The why is, he died for the forgiveness of their sins. The why is, he rose from the dead so that we may share in his resurrection and in his eternal life. So the pattern, once again, the women come with the spices to anoint the body, and they are told by the angels, he is risen. The disciples were told by the women and refused to believe, as did the two on the way to Emmaus. And then they were told why it was by Jesus before they recognized him. The ten were told by the women, by the two, by Peter, and then by Jesus, who appears to them and shows them his hands and his side. And Thomas was told by the rest of them. Thomas, I like to say, is the quality control guy. He stands there at the end of the line just to make sure. Now, this is the real thing, right? It's not just a story, not just a tale, not just a make-you-feel-good thing. This is real. Because Thomas does not want a nice story. He wants a risen Lord. And if there isn't a risen Lord, don't bother him with a nice story. That's why it's arranged the way that it is. For the Word of God to be preeminent in all things. To teach them to focus on the Word of God, because God is calling. He is calling us in Jesus. He is calling in the resurrection of Jesus. He is calling by the cross. But he is calling for us to hear his Word. Know the Word of God. Hear the message of salvation. No matter how well you know the facts, no matter how well you know the story, you and I, we are called by God into the Word of God to find our life in His Word, to have the eternal things given to us by the eternal Word of God. And then we say, the three-part things, we're Lutheran. So we talk about the means of grace. The Word right at the center, and we talk about the Word, and then we talk about the wet Word, because God puts His Word into baptism. And then we talk about, we use this phrase, the tasty Word, because in the Lord's Supper, again, He puts His Word into that, and He calls us to hear the Word of God, because the Word of God gives life, the Word of God gives salvation, the Word of God gives eternity. And with the Word of God in our souls, that makes our souls eternal. And so the Word of God to you once again, the proclamation once again, the Word that we share once again on Easter Day, Christ is risen. Alleluia. Amen.